Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Believe in Hornets podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. My name is Sam. Muggsy Bogues is with me. Muggsy, how you doing?
I'm good, Sam. Man, I am doing so well. We had a great holiday. Christmas was beautiful to the Bogues family. So I'm excited.
Yeah, same here. I had a little like an early Christmas. My parents drove into town. So on Christmas Day, kind of kept things low key and safe and all that with what's going on in the world. Also, you know, I'm 31 now, so Christmas is a little different at this point. I'm just happy to have the day off work. Really, that's the best gift.
That's true. But you know, everybody still love to open up a gift. Mm-hmm. You know, just to you know feel like you know somebody do care for them. But it is, you know, it's a holiday I always consider is overrated. But you know, my kids are older now. My grandkids are kind of at that teenage stage too, so they really just want money, which they all do. Mm-hmm. But it, you know, like I say, it was a good day.
Yeah, and
quiet, safe, like you said, quiet and safe.
Yep. Yeah. So pretty like I've been to Charlotte for 5 years now. Mm-hmm. I'm from the Midwest originally, and I still quite can't get over how warm it is on Christmas. My first Christmas here was 60 degrees. And that blew my mind. Where it's
so you expect the next snow, huh? You're looking for that snow to come down and freezing, well, that freezing mist, that freezing. What you say, Midwest?
Yeah, Midwest. So yeah, like
Midwest. Yeah,
that sub-zero temps.
It's brutal. It can be brutal.
That wintry mix and all that stuff.
Yes.
But
yes.
Here, but, so it's like
know,
all right.
In the Carolinas, we do have seasons. Mm-hmm. You know, we do have season, you know, we do consider the four seasons we do have and do experience, but, you know, sometimes we just have a little warmer winter than others.
Yeah. And when it does get cold, for me now, cold is under anything under 40. I've lost all my Midwest tolerance. So anytime, like when I walk my dog, I'm hoodie, coat, bundled up. I can't handle it at all. I think it's my mom's Puerto Rican. I think it's my Puerto Rican blood, like really shining through when it gets really cold outside. But anyway, we're not here to talk about my blood. we're here to talk about the Hornets.
absolutely.
And you mentioned gifts earlier. We got three real NBA games as a gift from the NBA. And a pretty big gift to cap it all off with a huge dub over the Brooklyn Nets.
Yes.
A very unexpected and much appreciated W. We're going to get into all those games in this episode. We're going to talk about the Hornets injury issues that are popping up right now and just what we've seen from these games in general. You ready to get into it?
Let's get into it. Let's discuss.
Cool. So let's start with the bad news first. We lost. The Hornets will be without Cody Zeller for at least 4 to 6 weeks. Muggsy, what are your thoughts on his loss right now, and Bismack Biyombo kind of picking up the slack?
Well, you know, unfortunately for the Hornets organization, they're accustomed to Cody being out. You know, he's really hasn't had a full season since he's been in the league, and that's been a knack on him. But for other guys, it's a matter of opportunity. I've a matter of being able to get some minutes and being able to step up. You mentioned Bismack Biyombo. He got to really step his game up. I think he really did that last game against Brooklyn, being in the right place at the right time, you know, moving without the basketball. The guy's been able to find him. He get him easy baskets underneath. He's going to have to continue to do that. And he also going to have to be able to continue to protect the paint, rebound the basketball. And collectively, they're going to have to do it as a unit. And I think by Cody being out, because Cody was that intangible guy. He the guy that be on diving on the floor, constantly get the rebounds, constantly banging, you know, and that's probably one of the reasons he constantly always get injured. So I think collectively as a unit, everybody going to have to do their part. And I think Biz is going to be the lead, going to have to be at the helm today.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I was a little disappointed not to have seen Vernon Carey or Nick Richards at this point get some NBA minutes. But I have to remind myself, these guys are rookies.
Absolutely.
It's going to take some time for them to get involved. Which seems to be a theme. A friendly reminder to all Hornets fans out there. We're just three games in. It's a long season.
Yeah, and Coach is trusting his rotation right now. And I think he got his set rotation, you know, with McDaniels and Cody and Caleb coming off the bench and Melo coming off. So, I mean, he got his rotation. I guess he wanted to really stick with that. And that's showing some consistency and chemistry is building within that. Those guys, you know, got to continue to remain professionals. Their opportunities will come. And that's what NBA professionals being all about. You know, when your opportunity comes, you got to be ready, regardless how many games you played and how many games you haven't played.
Mm-hmm. And sticking with the injury news, this one's a lot more positive. PJ Washington left the game early with an ankle injury. He's back practicing. So I don't know if he'll miss any time. Like, I don't know if they'll bring him off the bench when they take on the Mavericks on Wednesday. But PJ's injury not being as bad as it could have been is great news.
Yeah, it is great news. I mean, anytime you twist that ankle, though, it could be bothersome and it can linger on. And hopefully, you know, they can continue to get as much treatment he can before Wednesday. And I'm quite sure the trainers and organization are going to look at it and see if it's something that they can kind of set him out this game and let him get a little more time to rest out, because it is. It's a long season. We're just three games into it. And we need PJ going forward, especially with Cody being injured. We can't afford both of them being out a long stretch of time. And I think sure that the organization is going to kind of monitor him going forward and make the best decision for him come game time.
And I feel bad because he had a slow start to the season. He's talked about it. He's admitted it. And when you're on the shelf, you don't get a chance to redeem yourself. Like, you're just kind of waiting for your opportunity to get back in there. And then to prove, you know, you can play better. And I'm glad he's back.
He showed up huge against Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And that was the day, you know, after the two losses, you know, against, OKC. And Cavaliers, I mean, he stepped up. I mean, 18 points. I mean, that's what he needs to continue to do, especially with Hayward leading the charge.
Oh, yeah. PJ has a really strong chance to really fill up the stat sheet this year, playing multiple positions for the team. So it's good news. He'll be back sooner than later, which is always nice. Yes. But the Hornets, though, got off to a rough start, to say the least, against the Cavaliers and the Thunder, two teams I said on this podcast would be favorable, to say the least. Like, those matchups were favorable, to say the least.
But hey, Cavs beat the Nets as well. I mean, they got another win. I mean, Saxon, those boys are playing some good basketball. The guards, Garland.
Okoro's nice.
Guard play. They've been playing pretty strong. And then with Drummond down there in the middle, and Kevin Love coming back. So, mm-hmm. You know, that could be a team that could be really scary, you know, early on in the season. You don't want to kind of catch them because teams trying to get out early and establish themselves. So, but against OKC, we felt like we was going to win that one. Considering all the things that went on with their organization, you know, so many bodies, you know, left out of the organization, considering what they did in a bubble, making the playoff, you know, Chris Paul and so forth, Schroeder. But, you know, credit to them guys. They came in with the right attitude, was able to, create havoc for the Hornets and got a win, snuck a win out of it. But, you know, what I like about it, the Hornets didn't hang their heads. They fought back and had opportunity to win that game, even though they was down so much, came back and almost won. But they came back against Brooklyn and really continue that momentum. And that's what I love about the young guys, not hanging their heads over that loss.
Yeah, like they, that team, that game was so fun to watch against the Nets, because I was sitting in my live stream hoping for the best. I had tons of Hornets fans in there, some Nets fans. And then I saw the, well, I read the panic in the Nets fans' texts as the game went along. Nets fans were coming in there. They were talking mess about the Hornets. they were so upset, which made me feel better, like so much better. Like I felt like I was winning the game too. Like, and then just Muggsy, how like important is that kind of bounce back, to not only bounce back like the Hornets did with a win, but against a team like the Nets, like avoiding that losing streak and proving to the rest of the league that your team is ready for it?
Well, I mean, and for a young team, you would expect, even though they got some veterans, which in Bismack and Haywood, but they relatively the majority of their young team, you would think they would hang their heads. But again, that momentum carried over from the OKC. They felt like they could have came back and won that game, came up short. Mm-hmm. And they just came out, and collectively, they really, you know, felt like they can play with the Brooklyn Nets, you know, even though Kyrie and KD had, you know, 28 and 25 good games, mm-hmm. Still wasn't enough, because the unit, all five of them starters, you know, was able to be in double figures. They shared the basketball, you know, and that's what you got to do. And then Hayward, like I say, you know, he really led the charge. He got 28 points. He can create opportunities from behind the arc as well as the mid-range. And he puts so much pressure on your defense when he's able to do that, going downstream and pull up at the mid-range, which is not so much heard of in today's game. You know, it's more or less around the three-point range. But he has that ability to go to the basket as well as pull up for that mid-range and put pressure on your defenders. And I think that's what helps a lot of the young guys, because now they can kind of get to their space and get to their place. And then sometimes where, you know, you need a basket, they got a veteran who can go get it. And that's what I've, again, liked about the way they play, how they share the basketball, how they minimize their turnovers this time, and then allow them guys to get out into some open transition baskets.
Eric. The dog is going nuts in the background. Apologies.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it. Part of the family.
All it takes is one random door to open or close, and it's all right. He's like, oh, I need to protect this house all of a sudden.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the Thunder game. I want to give some love to Miles Bridges, because his fourth quarter was insane. 14 points in the fourth quarter showed like the Miles that we all hope to see this season. And hopefully we get to see more of this Miles Bridges, because his role right now is off the bench. And the idea of having a dynamic scorer as the sixth or seventh man is a great place to be for the franchise going forward. Like, it's a great tool to have in the tool bag.
Yeah, and with his skill set, I mean, having him taking on that role, it's really big on him. And I honored and I credit him to that, because that's going to allow him to grow as a player. You know, he had a rough start early on in that game in the Brooklyn, but, you know, again, came back that second half, even in OKC.
Mm-hmm.
Bam, he just knocking that shot.
Yeah.
And then he just really just fed off of that. His confidence is continuing to grow. They know that they need his scoring. They need his productivity night in and night out. And that's what being a professional is all about, coming in and being consistent. And I think he's going to learn that from a guy like Haywood. You know, how being around a guy like that, how to come in and conduct yourself. And he definitely will be in the conversation, you know, that sixth man award, if he continued to grow and continue to listen to the people that's around him, that's giving him that proper advice, because he got so much, you know, potential. You know, you saw the pass that Melo gave him, you know, alley-oop. Mm-hmm. And it really wasn't alley-oop. He just caught it and located where the basket is to make sure that, hey, I need to go and throw this thing down. And was able to flush it in. And that's the ability, the talent that that young man possessed. So I'm looking forward to seeing him on many nights, having nights like that.
Yeah, and Terry Rozier has just been a madman thus far. But 42 points against the Cavs. He's averaging 26 right now, I think, a game. And this type of production on Terry Rozier, I don't know if it's sustainable or not, but I'm loving every second of it. And if he keeps this up, that's a real piece to have to leverage this season. Like, I was always like curious who would be like that number one option on the Hornets. Not that it shouldn't be Terry, not that it shouldn't be Gordon Hayward, but like it seems like Terry is like, hey, this is my team. And when things aren't working, we saw it in the Cavs game where he's just, you know, I'm shooting this thing. Guys are sending picks for him. He's taking that shot. He's taking those shots fearlessly. Like, I'm loving that. I'm loving that out of him.
Yeah. I think, you know, so much they bring different skill sets to the game in terms, I mean, different skill set to the game in terms of who probably will get that last shot. I think Gordon Hayward probably will have the ball in his hand more times than none because of the capability he's able to shoot behind the three, able to get to the basket as well as the mid-range, and they trust him in that regard. And Terry, you know, T has been on the road, and he has that capability of creating his own shot as well. And I think him and Hayward, you know, Bannon and Boston for a couple seasons playing with each other, I think it gives them a lot of comfort zone playing with one another. You know, they feed off each other. They feel good out there. They know exactly where each guy like the basketball. And I think that chemistry is going to help the other guys that surround them. And I think it showed in game three for sure. As you alluded to, he is on the road. He got to continue to keep that confidence. I hope he can sustain it because they're going to need it going forward. And D. Graham as well. You know, Devontae Graham got to continue to be aggressive, continue to look for a shot. And at the same time, when opportunities to get others involved, you got to do that because he had that skill set to do that. And I think, and Melo, of course, him as well, he has that ability to get guys, make guys around him better. And I think I love him what coach is doing with him. You know, coach is really protecting him in a way where you can notice he bring him out of the games, but is always on a positive note. It's something that he's did good and things that it ain't nothing he got to hang his head over. And then he's go back in the game with that same confidence and that still belief that, hey, something good can happen every time I put my hands on the basketball. And that's something that a coach can foresee from a young guy, a young talented player like him. And I think Melo trusted. And I think he's trusted in the fact that coaches bring them along in a way where, you know, when things was rolling with the other guys, he got to let that go and let them guys go in and finish that out. But at the same time, still interject him and keep him, let him know that, hey, you're a big part of this. You know, stay engaged, you know, because we're going to continue to need you going forward. But you are the future. And your leadership and your understanding of it, it's going to mean a lot. So don't get down on yourself. Just know what's happening. And that's why, you know, communication is the key. And I think they have that.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that. To any Hornets fans that are angry that Melo's not playing more, to any LaMelo fans that are angry that think the Hornets are ruining his career right now.
Oh, no.
Listen to Muggsy. They're not. They're doing the best thing for him right now, taking it slow. He's 19 years old. He just got here. It's his third NBA game. No summer league. 4 preseason. Like, the kid needs some time. It's for his best.
I guarantee you, he's going to have games where he's going to be out there for 25, 28, 30 minutes because the game he's going to be having, you know, and the impact he's having on the game is going to warrant that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those are the type of things that, you know, I'm quite sure coaches will see and let that game flow in that direction. And because, you know, one thing about coaches, bottom line, they want to win. You know, it's all about they want to win. And if they see a unit out there that's clicking, that's gelling, and then at the same time that if it's a crucial part of the game, and especially coming out the end, and they feel like this is the best way to close it out, he's going to leave them out there.
Yes, and I do really enjoy Melo and Terry on the court at the same time. Terry's shooting ability combined with LaMelo's passing is a nice pairing. I don't know what the starting five will look like this time next month, but if it's Terry and LaMelo in the starting five with Devontae coming off the bench, that is a scenario that I think could be pretty deadly, depending on who we're playing. I think there's some options, some really, really good options we have as this team matures and develops.
Yeah, well, Melo, he gonna have to step his game up to a whole new level to take over D. Graham's spot, because you bring stability, mm-hmm. you bring confidence as well as understanding how to run your program, how to get everybody involved, and then you don't lose that veteran that's on the floor. So I'm quite sure Coach got his hands on his pulse on understanding when is the right time to make that transition, that move. But, right now I can't see it.
And what do you think about, so people are asking me about centers. So perfect world, Zeller's fit and healthy again. Is that a position where you see the Hornets making a trade or acquiring another five at some point along the year? For me, I'll say just like, let's wait and see. We don't know what we have out of Richards and Vernon yet. We won't know for a while.
Still young, mm-hmm. But I can see Mitch pulling the trigger on that, getting a rim protector. Somebody that's mobile, linger, long arms, whose flexibility, possibly also who can may stretch the floor. But if that may not be a criteria, but if he can protect that rim and give the younger guys the opportunity where they get more possessions than the custom, then that's something that they're gonna search for. No discredit to Bismack or Cody, but those guys are on a smaller stature sides in that regards. But like I say, you see what the young fella down in Houston is doing, Woods, mm-hmm. And that length like that, who knows? McDaniels is playing, some good minutes, and I love what he brings to the table. So, but who knows who's all out there? So we have to see what, all reveals itself. But I won't count Mitch Kupchak, in terms of doing his due diligence and saying what's available.
Yeah. So, for me at least, to put a bow on what we've seen thus far. Like, I know the first two games are rough, but it is what it is. The first two games of the season, they're over and done with. We got a glimpse into what this team is capable of against the Nets. That was the team we all expect to see this year, I would say. They're going to be tested once again, right back again with the Mavericks. And then after that, they have the Sixers, I think. Let's see here. We got the Grizzlies. By the way, Ja Morant, get well soon. I know he left the game with a scary-looking ankle injury. I don't know what the severity is, but I don't think we'll see him when the Hornets play them. But we have the Mavs, Grizzlies, and then the Sixers twice. So it's going to continue. It's not going to get any easier, basically, is what I mean.
It's about to crank up. Yeah, it's about to crank up. But, hey, this is what the NBA is all about. You're looking for the teams, East Coast, West Coast, regardless of who it is, you just got to be ready to be prepared. And I think these guys feeling good about themselves, especially after that win. Less now, we got to build from that. And the next game is the Mavs, which is a real tough one, with Luka just coming off that big win.
Oh, man. The Clippers. That was scary.
Yeah. Yeah. So they feeling good about themselves. So, but hey, two teams feeling good about themselves going to match up. I like those battles.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited. I know this is a Hornets podcast, but I'm psyched to see Luka play. He's really fun to watch. So that's what's one of the treats about the NBA,
Yeah, that's true. You get to see, all the stars against one another, against your team. So, but I'm looking forward to seeing, how we come out the gate, how we continue to defensively try to, put that wall up against, Luka and not allow him to just do what he do. But it's hard because he's one of the best in the league. And the other guys, the supporting cast, are shooting the balls the harder ways, and Trey Burke and those young crowd is a power. So we got to, we got our work cut out, but I like our chances. And guys got to go out there and believe and do what they did last game, share the basketball. We had five starters in double figures. That's a big plus.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So I'm psyched. The game is tonight as you're hearing this. If I'm not to break the fourth wall, recording Susan. Yeah. Game is tonight as you're hearing this. So we're excited to watch, and we'll be back next Wednesday In the new year, in 2021, if you can believe it, somehow it's 2021.
Yeah.
So if you like what you hear, do us a favor, subscribe, leave us a rating on iTunes. It helps the podcast grow. But yeah, Muggsy, anything you want to say before we get out of here?
Well, again, you know, I enjoy our discussion about Hornet basketball, Sam. It's always a treat. You know, I feel like I get smarter and smarter every time I talk to you. You know, we have a good dialogue with each other. But again, you know, it's been great doing this. Again, for the folks that's out there, if you like what you hear, you like what you see, tune in, subscribe, because we're going to be here. We ain't going nowhere. It's Hornets basketball, one and only.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.